So we're continuing through the book of Numbers. It's been, how many years since we started in Genesis? Four or five years, all right? So we've gotten to this point in our evening service. There is no better way than to preach God's word, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And we find ourselves tonight in Numbers chapter 9, actually through at chapter 8, all the way through chapter 9, verse 14. I would ask you to stand with me as I pray. We would read our passage of Scripture and hear what God would say to us this night. Father God, we thank you that you are indeed the God who goes before us, the God who stands behind us, the God who stands on the sides of us, Lord God. You're the God who surrounds us and protects us and keeps us, Lord. We thank you that if we're your child and we're in your hand, that no one can pluck us from it, that indeed no weapon formed against us shall prosper. What a great God you are. We thank you for the truth of your word, and we ask, Lord God, as we look at your word tonight, as we read and hear your word, that it would indeed be you speaking, that it would not be the words of a man, but we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would guide us and direct us into all truth this evening. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Numbers chapter 8, beginning in verse 5 to 9:14. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the Levites from among the people of Israel and cleanse them. Thus you shall do to them to cleanse them, sprinkle the water of purification on them, and let them go with a razor over all their body and wash their clothes and cleanse themselves. Then let them take a bull from the herd and its grain offering and fine flour mixed with oil, and you shall take another bull from the herd for a sin offering, and you shall bring the Levites before the tent of meeting and assemble the whole congregation of the people of Israel. When you bring the Levites before the Lord, the people of Israel shall lay their hands on the Levites, and Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord as a wave offering from the people of Israel, that they may do the service of the Lord. Then the Levites shall lay their hands on the heads of bulls, and you shall offer one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering to the Lord to make atonement for the Levites. And you shall set the Levites before Aaron and his sons, shall offer them as a wave offering before the Lord. Thus you shall separate the Levites from among the people of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. And after that the Levites shall go in to serve at the tent of meeting, when you have cleansed them, and offer them as a wave offering. For they are wholly given to me from among the people of Israel. Instead of all who open the womb, the firstborn of all the people of Israel, I have taken for myself. For all the firstborn among the people of Israel are mine, both of man and of beast. On the day that I struck down the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I consecrated them for myself, and I have taken the Levites instead of the firstborn among the people of Israel, and I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and his sons from among the people of Israel to do the service for the people of Israel at the tent of meeting and to make atonement for the people of Israel, that there may be no plague among the people of Israel when the people of Israel come near my sanctuary. Thus did Moses and Aaron, all the congregation of the people of Israel, to the Levites, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites. The people of Israel did to them, and the Levites purified themselves from sin and washed their clothes, and Aaron offered them as a wave offering before the Lord. And Aaron made atonement for them to cleanse them. And after that, the Levites went in to do their service in the tent of meeting before Aaron and his sons, as the Lord had commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so they did to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this applies to the Levites. From 25 years old and upward, they shall come to do the duty in the service of the tent of meeting. And from the age of 50, they shall withdraw from the duty of service and serve no more. They minister to their brothers in the tent of meeting by keeping guard, but they shall do no service. Thus shall you do to the Levites in assigning their duties. And the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year, after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, let the people of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time. On the 14th day of this month, at twilight, you shall keep it at its appointed time. According to all its statutes and all its rules, you shall keep it. So Moses told the people of Israel that they should keep the Passover, and they kept the Passover in the first month of the 14th day of the month at twilight in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the people of Israel did. And there were certain men who were unclean through touching a dead body, so that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and Aaron on that day, and those men said to him, "We are unclean through touching a dead body. Why are we kept from bringing the Lord's offering at its appointed time among the people of Israel?" And Moses said to them, "Wait, that I may hear what the Lord will command concerning you." The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, if any one of you or your descendants is unclean through touching a dead body or is on a long journey, he shall keep the Passover to the Lord. In the second month, in the 14th day, at twilight, they shall keep it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any of its bones. According to all the statute for the Passover, they shall keep it. But if anyone who is unclean is not on a journey and fails to keep the Passover, that person shall be cut off from his people because he did not bring the Lord's offering at its appointed time. That man shall bear his sin. And if a stranger sojourns among you, and you would keep the Passover and would keep the Passover of the Lord according to the statute of the Passover and according to its rules, so shall he do. You shall have one statute both for the sojourner and for the native." It's the word of the Lord. You may be seated. That's a lot to take in here tonight, but I've entitled it "Priests and Passover." Priests and Passover. Excuse me, I apologize. As we look at the priests, we're going to see four things about the priests tonight. We're going to see their placement, their purification, their purpose, and their passage. Their placement, their purification, their purpose, and their passage. Their placement. He says this, God says this, "Thus," in verse 14, "thus you shall separate the Levites from among the people of Israel, the Levites are mine." God had already set apart the Levites to be set apart unto him. And these Levites, we need to be clear, were not Aaron and his sons. They were a special form of Levite, if you would. They were priests and high priests. These Levites were the ones who would do the work of the tent of meeting. The way I understand it and see it, that these Levites were the clans of Gershon, Merari, and Kohath. Listen to what God says in Numbers chapter 3, verses 44 and 45. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the Levites instead of the firstborn among all the people of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle. The Levites shall be mine. I am the Lord." So they were placed by God. God placed this particular tribe of people in the place of service for his tent of meeting. Ian Duguid says in his commentary this concerning God: "He is the sovereign king, and it is his prerogative to choose whomever he will to serve him. By the same token, it is his prerogative to pass over whomever he will." God chooses who will serve him in his tabernacle. Once they were placed, they had to be purified for the work of the tent of meeting. And so we see their purification. And their cleansing was not the same as that of Aaron and his sons. As priests, they were consecrated and they were purified for the work of being intercessors in Leviticus chapter 8. You remember, it was a very elaborate ceremony for Aaron and his sons where Moses would put oil on them, the oil with incense on them. He would sprinkle blood on them. They would put blood on the lobe, on the right ear lobe and on the right big toe. It was a big ceremony to consecrate and cleanse them for the work of being a priest before the Lord, an intercessor for God. Here, they are just workers within the tabernacle, and they were to be cleansed. Numbers 8, 5, and 6 again. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the Levites from among the people of Israel and cleanse them." The word "cleanse" here is not the usual word for cleanse in Hebrew. This is the word piel, and it means cleanse or purify, cause ritual purity, often with an official pronouncement of a new state. They went from one way of living to another. They had one purpose and went to another. Moses was to sprinkle them with the water of purification, and they were to shave their entire body and wash their clothes. That's what it says in verse 7. "Thus you shall do to them to cleanse them, sprinkle the water of purification upon them, and let them go with a razor over all their body and wash their clothes and cleanse themselves. This is not a Nazirite vow. This is not just a shaving of their head. This is the shaving of their entire body. So Moses was to take the water of purification, probably from the great laver that was in front of the tent of meeting, and sprinkle them with it, and then they were to wash their clothes and shave their entire body. Hair, every piece of hair in their body had to be shaved off. We don't know why God said, doesn't tell us why they were to shave their entire body, but perhaps that is what symbolized them as being something new, of being old and transferring into something new. The sprinkling of water and the purification and the shaving off of their of the hair of their body is what made them ceremonially clean. They were, in essence, now outwardly pure. But it's not good enough to be outwardly pure. Remember what Jesus told the Pharisees? He says, you know, you think it's good to clean the outside of the cup. What about the inside of the cup? See, you're clean on the outside, you Pharisees, but inside you are full of dead men's bones. They needed, these Levites, just as you and I do, need to be cleaned inwardly. They need to be made morally pure before God. And so, therefore, a sacrifice was needed. Listen to what it says in verse 8. And pay attention to this. Verse 8 says, then God says, then let them, that is the Levites, take a bull from the herd and its grain offering of fine flour mixed with oil, and you shall take another bull from the herd for a sin offering. Notice who brings what sacrifice. The Levites were to bring the burnt offering, and Aaron was to bring the sin offering. That's what it says. Let them take a bull from the herd and its grain offering, and you, Moses, or Aaron, shall take another bull from the herd for a sin offering. If you ask me, that's an amazing picture of God's redemption for us. We cannot atone for our sins. Only Christ can. All we can do is come and offer ourselves to God and ask God to ransom us. And that's what the Levites were doing with bringing the burnt offering. And God was atoning for them with Aaron and Moses bringing the sin offering. I think it's an absolutely beautiful picture. This was to be done, and then the entire assembly really would translate to the heads of the tribes of Israel. Like, you have 3 million people cannot possibly go now and lay their hands on all these Levites. And as doing so, as the people represented by the leaders of the tribes place their hands upon these Levites, they were metaphorically transferring their sins to these Levites. Look at what it says in verses 9 to 10. And you shall bring the Levites before the tent of meeting and assemble the whole congregation of the people of Israel. When you bring the Levites before the Lord, the people of Israel shall lay their hands on the Levites. And after laying their hands on and metaphorically transferring their sins, they were standing in the place of the people of Israel. The sacrifices were to be made. Again, verses 11 and 13. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord as a wave offering from the people of Israel, that they may do the service of the Lord. Then the Levites shall lay their hands on the heads of the bulls, and you shall offer for one the sin offering and for the other a burnt offering to the Lord to make atonement for the Levites. And you shall set the Levites before Aaron and his sons and shall offer them as a wave offering to the Lord. It says that they shall lay their hands on the heads of these bulls. We know already that it means transferring their sins, the sins of the people, to these animals who would pay the price for them. The word shall lay is samach, and it means literally to lean upon. It's not just a, you know, just kind of placing and touching. It's leaning into. Everything depends on me doing this. And so their sins were metaphorically transferred to these two bulls. And they were offered as a wave offering. Now, we know what a wave offering was. They would take the offering, the thigh and the breast, and they would literally wave it back and forth before God. But you can't take, you know, thousands of people and wave them before the Lord. We don't really know what it means that they stand there and wave back, move back and forth. Most likely, it means that this was how they were presented to the Lord in place of the people, the firstborn of Israel. When the purification ceremony was done, they were able to do the work of the tabernacle. And so we see their purpose. What is their purpose? Their purpose is actually twofold. They were to stand in the place of all the firstborn of Israel, and they were to do the work of the tabernacle. And so their purpose, if you remember, go back to chapter 3, that the firstborn of Israel had to be redeemed, or were redeemed, by the price of 5 shekels each. That was the redemption price for their life, and that money was given to Aaron and to his sons. They had to pay the price, and the Levites, now standing in their place, were to live obediently for them to the Lord. In order to serve the Lord, you had to be obedient to do what God did. Remember, God redeemed the firstborn of Israel with the blood over the post on the first Passover. And so these Levites were a visual reminder of God's grace to the people of Israel. Again, Ian Duggett says this, they were a reminder that when God rescued his people, he did so with a price. Verses 16 and 18 say, where they are wholly given to me from among the people of Israel, instead of all who opened the womb, the firstborn of all the people of Israel, I have taken for myself. For all the firstborn among the people of Israel are mine, both of man and beast. On the day that I struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I consecrated them for myself. And I have taken the Levites instead of the firstborn among the people of Israel. They stood as a ransom, as it were, in the place of all the firstborn of Israel. Verses 20 and 25 says this, about their purpose and their service. Thus did Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the people of Israel to the Levites, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, the people of Israel did to them. And the Levites purified themselves from sin and washed their clothes, and Aaron offered them as a wave offering before the Lord. And Aaron made atonement for them to cleanse them. And after that, the Levites went in to do their service in the tent of meeting before Aaron and his sons, as the Lord had commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so they did to them. When we look at this picture of these Levites, they were standing in the place of the firstborn of Israel. Jesus stands in our place as the firstborn among many brothers. Romans 8:29 would tell us that. He stands as the firstborn from among the dead, the head of the church. Colossians 1:8 would tell us that. And now he sits in heaven as our sin and burnt offering for us. Even though these priests, these Levites, were purified, they could only serve in the tabernacle for a certain period of time. And after that, they could only guard the tabernacle, and so we see their passage. What it says in verses 23 to 26. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this applies to the Levites from 25 years old and upward. They shall come to do duty in the service of the tent of meeting. And from the age of 50, they shall withdraw from the duty of service and serve no more. So they had to serve for 25 years. They shall minister to their brothers in the tent of meeting by keeping guard. And literally, it meant by literally keeping guard. They would stand around the tabernacle outside the court at the gates, and if anybody tried to come in who was not to come in, they were given commands to kill that person. They were not to let them come in at all. But they shall do no service, thus you shall do to the Levites in assigning their duties. Why God put this stipulation of after 50, you get to retire, and of course they had a full pension because everything was provided for the Levites by the people of Israel. How many of us would love to retire at 50 and have everything taken care of, right? It would be nice, right? But why God did that, we don't know. But God instituted it, and because God instituted it, that's what they are to do, and that's exactly what they have done. The Levites have been purified. The work of the tent of the meeting could begin. And now God tells the people of Israel to keep the Passover, to keep the Passover. What it says in Numbers 9, 1 to 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai. In the first month of the second year, they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, let the people of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time. Notice how God is very specific about the time of when the Passover is to be celebrated. What it says in verse 3, on the 14th day of this month at twilight, you shall keep its appointed time according to all its statutes and all its rules, you shall keep it. Just as God said to Moses, make sure you do everything according to the pattern that I showed you on the mountain, so also you're to do everything according to what I say concerning this Passover. Very specific day, very specific month, very specific time of the day, and very specific rules. You're going to eat all of it, bitter herbs, no broken bones. Very specific, God does. God says this. Of course, that Passover lamb is a picture of who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. So Moses told the people of Israel that they should keep the Passover, and they kept the Passover in the 14th month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So the people of Israel did. So God commands them to keep the Passover. In order to keep the Passover, you had to be ceremonially clean. You had to be purified. And so we come to this section, which I've entitled, What About Me? What About Me? It says this, and there were certain men who were unclean through touching a dead body, so that they could not keep the Passover on that day. God had made very clear that anybody who touches a dead body was unclean at least until twilight, till night. There was a ceremony, you had to wash yourself and wash your clothes, and at twilight, you would be made clean again. But for some circumstance, the Bible does not tell us that they had to deal with a dead body, right? I mean, if somebody passed away in the midst of the camp, the Jews were not to just let them lay. Nobody would let them just lay there, right? Well, we got a ceremony to take care of, so you can just hang out in the tent and, you know, we'll take care of you when it's over. No, they had to be taken care of right away. God determines the day of birth. God determines the day of death. And so this dying was a work of God. And so these men were unclean because God had determined somebody was to pass away, and their body was to be taken care of. And so it's a logical question to think, okay, God's in charge of all this. How am I being kept from the Passover? I mean, this was the day of days for the Jews, right? To miss this was to be a big thing. Matter of fact, God will say later on, we'll see that if you miss it, you fail to keep it, you're to be cut off from your people. So it was a big deal to keep the Passover. And so they asked God. Let's go again to our text. And there were certain men who were unclean through touching a dead body, so they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and Aaron on that day, and those men said to him, we are unclean through touching a dead body. In other words, it's not our fault. We had to do this. Why are we kept from bringing the Lord's offering at its appointed time among the people of Israel? And Moses said to them, wait, that I may hear what the Lord will command concerning you. Notice how Moses didn't say, what are you talking about? You're unclean. There's no way you can partake of this. He said, you know what? Let me see what God says about this. This is a unique circumstance, something that apparently has not come up before. Moses goes in and inquires of the Lord. And then God tells Moses what he will require in such a situation. Pay attention to this. This is so great. Verse 9 of chapter 9. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, if any one of you or your descendants is unclean through touching a dead body or is on a long journey, he shall keep the Passover to the Lord. In the second month, on the 14th day at twilight, they shall keep it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it till morning, nor break any of its bones. According to all the statute for the Passover, they shall keep it. Those who were unclean because they had become unclean through dealing with a corpse could celebrate the Passover a month later. They had to exercise all the required for, so they can, a month later, so they could exercise all the required purification rituals. And they also had to keep all the rules of the Passover. But did you notice what God added? God added something. They asked about touching a dead body, and God went a step further. Anybody catch it? I see Mr. Roach shaking his head like he knows what I'm talking about. What? No. Long? Who said long journey? The long journey. They didn't ask about somebody being on a long journey. But God said, but if you're on a long journey, if you had to be away for business or whatever, you had to be away from the people, and you weren't here to celebrate the Passover, you could come back and pass and celebrate the Passover. I find that absolutely fascinating that God would do that. God gives, look at what it says. And the Lord said to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel, if any one of you or your descendants is unclean through touching a dead body or is on a long journey, he shall keep the Passover to the Lord. What a gracious God we serve. We're worried about if this situation happened. God says, yeah, but this situation might happen too. And let me tell you how to handle that situation. God gives further instructions for keeping the Passover now in verses 13 and 14. But if anyone who is clean and is not on a journey fails to keep the Passover, that person shall be cut off from his people because he did not bring the Lord's offering at its appointed time. That man shall bear his sins. And if a stranger sojourns among you and would keep the Passover of the Lord according to the statute of the Passover and according to its rule, so he shall do. You shall have one statute both for the sojourner and for the native. Did you catch what God added this time? God expanded it even more. Look again. It'll come up in red. But if anyone who is clean and is not on a journey fails to keep the Passover, that person shall be cut off from his people because he did not bring the Lord's offering at its appointed time. That man shall bear his sin. And if a stranger sojourns among you and keep the Passover to the Lord according to the statutes of the Passover and according to his rule, so shall he do. You shall have one statute, both for the sojourner and for the native. So now God says, now if somebody comes in and dwells among you who's not of your people, but comes in and dwells among you, and he says, you know what? I want to keep the Passover. I want to celebrate the grace of God, the goodness of God, the salvation of God. They were allowed to. God makes provision for those who had become unclean, for those who are on a long journey, for the stranger who would sojourn among them. Think about this. How great is God's salvation? He truly is the Savior of all people. We sing a song, at least the song I like, His Mercy Is More, and it says this. The line is this. He welcomes the sinner, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. They thought it was all about them and all about their situations. God says, no, this person can also come. The stranger can come. The person on a long journey. When I see this and I look at this Passover, how God expands it to all people, it reminds me of what Paul writes to Titus in Titus 2:11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. What a great God we serve. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you that you have instituted the priesthood of the Old Testament, which points to the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Passover, which points to the one who makes atonement for our sins, the one who passes over us because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you that you invite all people, young and old, rich and poor, healthy or sick, man or woman, slave or free, it does not matter, that all are welcome to your throne of grace. What a great God you are. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. May we never take it for granted. But as we're learning in Peter, may we respond to it in love and obedience. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Let's close in a song.
Scripture says no one can lay any foundation other than Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians 3:11. So I ask that you open up your hymnals. We're going to sing 526, The Solid Rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest upon his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood, support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Verse 4. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Amen.